Okay, it's time to call Ben, because it's time to call Ben, for the podcast, because I forgot to call Ben, but I'm doing it now. I'm calling Ben for the podcast. I'm calling Ben. And he's hopefully going to pick up.
Pick up.
I think. Hey, Ben.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
All right. So I'm sorry.
I forgot again?
To call you. Yeah. But I had reason. I was working from home today.
Ah.
I hadn't planned on it. But my wheel problem, you remember the wheel problem?
On your car?
On my car, it reasserted itself. So it's in the shop.
What is this?
And
what is this?
Sorry, go ahead.
What is this wheel problem? Is the wheel about to fall off?
Well, no, it was about to fall off, and then I got it fixed, but now it's making a noise in the place where it got fixed.
Sounds like they didn't fix it properly.
Yeah, that's the idea. So they're looking into it. Everybody's happy right now, but there's not been any talk of how much it's going to cost or anything. So we will see. Feliz Navidad. Christmas has happened. And now...
Christmas has happened. On the day this goes live, it'll be New Year's Eve.
Hey, all right. Well, let's count it down, Ben.
We'll do that at the very end. Do you have do you have something you're doing on New Year's Eve?
Not that I know of. Jennifer is going to be going out of town pretty soon. She's going to see a play called The Play That Goes Wrong. Are you familiar with it?
I've never heard of it.
It's great. You should look it up. There's some stuff, I think, on YouTube about it. It's just hilarious. She's going to... It's sort of like Noises Off, but not exactly.
Well, it sounds like a... It sounds like a play that sort of messes with form.
Yes, it totally is. And I've seen, you know, I've seen it on YouTube and I thought it was funny. But unfortunately, I'm going to be working. Betty and I are staying here. Jennifer's going out there. Before Jennifer goes out there, got to fix the wheel so that the car.
So you have a car. Because
the car was drivable, but. You don't want to drive, you know, 18 hours on a bad wheel ways.
This play is only on the East Coast or something?
She's going to see it in Washington, D.C.
Ah.
She's got family out there, so they're staying
out there.
And so she's visiting and also seeing a play, basically. It's not that, like, she's going to go down and see the play and then come back right away.
That's a long ways to go for just a show.
Did we talk about us going to see the Book of Mormon, or was that going to be happening?
That was going to be happening.
Okay, so here's the cool thing. Indianapolis is a cool city.
Is it?
Yeah, there's some really cool bits of it.
That's where David Letterman is from, I believe.
Oh, yeah, well... It really has some good stuff in it. And when we were there, like, Betty, Jennifer, and I were walking around, and we all kind of looked at each other and all sort of simultaneously went, "We could live here. Hey, this is a pretty nice place. This would be cool to be here." That kind of thing. So that was kind of cool.
Oh, so is there a possibility of a move in your future?
Well, not anytime soon. But, it would be an okay place to move because it's sort of, like, on the way to Jennifer's parents' house. Or not Jennifer's parents' house, but Jennifer's mom's house. Well, not even Jennifer. No, not Jennifer's mom's house. Okay, starting over. Hey, we're not...
Is it
we
even
don't
though,
edit anything, but
like you,
it's
you,
all the way to her sister's house, I should
okay.
say.
Okay, but you don't like living in the big cities. Isn't Indianapolis a big city?
It is, and I don't necessarily mind living in a big city as long as some criteria are met, and one of it is that I don't have to drive in the big city. And I think that Indianapolis has some public transportation and all that. So
right.
Who knows? But anyway, there's no plan for us to actually move there.
Right.
But visiting again is a possibility.
It's a great place to visit.
Yeah.
How was the Book of Mormon?
Much more.
I've never seen it.
Okay, that was good, and I'll tell you a little bit about it, and just the one thing I was going to say is, like, if I had to drive in this city, it would be easier driving there than it was to drive in Chicago. I will say that.
Makes sense.
Yep. So, Book of Mormon. So when you talk about Book of Mormon, we had listened to it, and it was very good. But something that we judged it to be, you know, okay for Betty, based on listening to it. One thing that we did not know about is that in one of the songs that's staged, you can't see how it's staged when you're listening to it.
Right.
Everybody runs around with huge strap-ons, which took some explaining afterwards. And not explaining, not like she didn't know exactly what they were or whatever, but explaining, like, we didn't know that that was going to happen. This wasn't some sort of trick that we played on you to make you watch that. It's just something that we were...
I'm not surprised.
And I just heard a Betty yelling from the living room, "You guys didn't say that," so I don't know exactly what we said.
I'm not surprised that something like that happened, seeing as how it was written by the South Park guys.
Yep, Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
So there's bound to be something that might be, say, inappropriate for a 12-year-old.
Yes. Stay tuned for the end of the podcast where I will get clarification from Betty about what we actually said. I'm constantly talking. I'm 45 now, and my parents are in their 70s, and I'm constantly asking them about things that happened when I was a kid.
Okay.
And for a long period of time, I thought that they were deliberately, like... obfuscating the truth from me.
Yeah.
But more and more I'm starting to realize that they just didn't really pay attention. As if they had four children, you know.
Right. A pivotal moment to you might just be a drop in the bucket for them.
Exactly.
Or a flash in the pan, whatever that phrase is.
And I gotta say, I went to their place for Christmas Eve. And everything was nice. It was all fine. Everything was pretty good.
No contentious family arguments?
Everybody, right, exactly. Everybody got along. You know, it was a good meeting. So that was pretty cool. Pretty cool. How about you? How was your
My family likes to do Christmas on the nearest weekend. And so
we discussed that. Yes.
Yeah. So we got together that weekend, and on actual Christmas Eve, I was here at Annex. I watched my three favorite Christmas movies: Scrooged, Die Hard, and Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, I didn't realize that Mad Max Fury Road was a Christmas movie.
It's an anytime movie, I think. It was
okay.
Is there any? No.
Santa stuff at all?
No, there's nothing in there. It's just like it's just a movie I wanted to watch. So some friends came over, like Pamela and James came for Die Hard. Catherine was here. Who else? I think there was a couple other people. It was pretty small group, but I had fun.
Nice.
And Christmas Day, I never left my apartment. It was pretty
great.
Now
that's nice. Yeah. I also had a similar thing. Christmas Day, I watched all of Netflix Happy, or I watched all of, sorry, watched all of the Sci-Fi channels Happy. I watched it on Amazon Prime, and that's only because I bought it back when it first came out, but I never got around to watching it. The reason I mention it, though, is that Netflix is now showing Happy. So if you haven't seen it, you can watch it.
I haven't seen it. I haven't even heard of it. What is it?
It's pretty great. Christopher Maloney, I think his name is, from Law & Order SVU, plays a hitman.
Okay.
And who sees his daughter's imaginary friend.
Oh, really?
And has to go and save her. It's great. And I might have just given away a plot point by saying his daughter. So, spoilers for Happy. But spoilers, I think it's for Happy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Patton Oswalt plays the talking horse, flying talking horse.
Oh, there's a talking horse in it. I'm sold.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's really good. And the guy who did Crank did it. So it's very violent in parts, which really works.
Right.
For the thing. So yeah, I watched that basically. That was my Christmas, because it takes place around Christmas time.
Or it's a whole thing, huh?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's like 8 hours, I think.
Dang. Yeah, I didn't, I've had this time off of work. I haven't had to go anywhere.
Oh, nice.
So I haven't really been binge watching anything. I've been doing a lot of like web work and web updating, as I think I mentioned previously. That project is still in the thick of it. So,
as this is volunteer, you do it because you love it.
I'm doing it because it needs to be done.
Yeah, exactly. I not necessarily love it, but yeah.
I don't love it.
Oh, that was something else. Bandersnatch.
I haven't
Black
seen it
Mirror's
yet.
Black Mirror's Bandersnatch. Yeah. Do you know anything about it whatsoever?
I know it's an interactive Black Mirror movie.
Yes. And here's the thing I will say about it. I've mentioned this online to a couple people. You and I are of an age where pretty much all of our lives, people have been trying to make interactive movies a thing. And it doesn't really work all that well, right?
Yeah. I can't remember I can't think of any examples at the moment.
But like video game things where you're playing a game and then you play something and the tape moves to the next thing.
Right. I
or
mean
DVDs,
I grew up on those choose your own adventure books.
Right. And that's the thing. Those are books, right? And people have tried to do the same sort of thing with video. There was a stage show that I think maybe Kevin Seal was part of. Like he was a narrator for it, or he tried to introduce it or whatever.
You mean
I could be
former
wrong.
MTV VJ Kevin Seal?
Yes. And I may be getting that wrong. I may be getting him. Maybe he wasn't the guy, but I think he was the guy where I think it was in a movie theater. And the idea was that you like the theater voted for what would come next or whatever. And they were switching reels.
Man, that sounds like
or
a
something like that.
Pain.
Yeah. But it's pretty seamless. This version.
Do you use a remote to select an option?
I watched it through my PlayStation 4, and so I used the controller to select an option.
Gotcha. But that's basically the input. You input where you want the story to go.
Yes, exactly.
Somehow.
You have two choices, one on the left side of the screen, one on the right, and you choose whichever one you
How long does this experience take? Is it
It says movie length? An hour and 30 minutes.
Okay.
But I went through a couple times. And so it went longer for me.
Right. Man, but you know, somewhere out there is somebody just trying to hit all the combinations.
Oh, that's pretty much me.
Was that you?
Yeah. And I think I got them all.
How many? How many times did you watch it?
Oh, well, I don't, like I said, I don't want to give too much away, but it has, it's hard to say. That's what I'll say. It, because of the way that it's structured and everything, it felt like pretty much, two sessions, but I did a lot of stuff in between those two sessions.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then some follow-ups and stuff like, because eventually you get to, you know, you sort of sort out the larger parts of it.
Yeah.
I will also tell you that the Detroit Become Human, right, is the video game version of this, where you're making choices and stuff like that. You can sort of move your character around, but a lot of it you're watching a lot of different cutscenes.
Right.
So it's funny, these two different things, Bandersnatch and Detroit Become Human, are approaching the same thing, the same type of experience, but from different angles, basically.
Was it satisfying? I mean, did you like it, or was it annoying?
No, it wasn't annoying for me. I thought it was very interesting.
Okay.
I feel as though, at some point in time, and I don't know if I would like this or not like this, there's enough technology out there right now, kind of, that your impulse, like, eventually you wouldn't need to, like, if you had a VR headset on, right? You could just look at the choice instead of clicking a button, and right. it would pick the thing. And I feel like that kind of thing could happen eventually, where it's just picking up your impulses, well, and moving the story how it feels like you want it to go.
Yeah, I mean, that's you're heading in the right direction. I think that's approaching, and it doesn't even need to be like a VR headset. You know, you wear some sort of sensor, and it does pick up your brainwaves, and it senses when, say, you're getting anxious or when you're getting complacent. It senses, you know, if you want to, you know, where you want the story to go, and so you can actually program it to either follow your impulses or go counter to that, so you are surprised at the story.
It just picks up your heartbeat from your Apple Watch or your galvanic skin response or whatever. Yeah, it could happen. It could happen sooner than we think, Ben. It is the future. Speaking of it being the future, I know that, you know, as all of my good segues go, no fact-checking has happened. It's been Christmas weekend, so...
Right. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Right, exactly. Jennifer Fact-Checker, I do not think she has listened to the podcast. But let's check the old mailbag. Anybody write us?
No, I just opened it up and nothing. No mails, no emails, no Gmails. No F mails.
Understandable. There's, you know, it is going to be interesting, like 10 years from now or whatever, if we're still doing the podcast, which, you know, I'm hoping we will be.
Well, not if you keep forgetting.
Oh, man, it hurts me. But no, that eventually, would it not be weird if eventually there are too many emails and we can't get to all of them?
That's you know, that's probably
never going to happen.
Never going to happen. Yeah, I was going to say that's just an inevitability. You know, we just have to keep at this. But I don't want to sound too cocky.
Exactly. Yes.
There's actually, I don't know if you remember this this comedy documentary that we were part of. We were filming for.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. I never saw it.
I watched it. It's on. It's at goodylawrence.com. Oh, okay. If you want to watch it.
Whoop. Yeah, okay.
But anyway.
Yeah, I might.
Anyway, you could just fast forward and just watch our parts. But there's one moment where, you know, we're sitting in the back stairway at Annex, and you're like, you know, if Ben and I can just keep doing this until we're like into our 60s, that's totally fine with me. And I have an odd expression on my face, but you know, in going back and revisiting a lot of these pieces for the website, I'm like, you know what, that was a lot of fun. Like, I recently looked at the pictures of the time when we you had the Domokun outfit.
Oh, yeah.
And we made a sandwich and ate it.
Yeah. And a happy something and nice sprites. I forget
the Skrillex song.
Yeah. Yeah. And we had to edit it so that it would fit the piece better.
That's right. But I was looking at the pictures. I'm like, oh man, I totally forgot about that one.
Oh yeah, that was a fun one.
And
in the end, I think that you make me a sandwich.
Well, yeah, in the end, like, you take off the Domokun outfit and we eat a sandwich. But the way it ends, and Ian was just like snapping pictures like constantly. And apparently the way it ended. We're getting a little bit of ahead of ourselves in the Paul and Ben talk about every single one of their performances. But
true.
But the way it ended is like we're eating our sandwich and it just looks like we're not eating it. We're just holding the sandwich to our mouths while the lights slowly go down on us and we're just staring at each other.
I believe it. I believe that's how it would go. Yeah. I still think if I had to choose my most favorite piece that we did, I want to say Dinner in Hell.
Yeah.
That was a really good one. Speaking about which, Ben, it's time to talk about Paul's diet. I got one of the coolest things I got for Christmas. I got a pair of shoes from my parents, which I like a lot. Because I needed new shoes, and they got me some. Jennifer got me a scale that allows you to weigh food. And then, depending on, you can type in the type of food it is, and it will give you the nutritional value of that food.
The scale does that?
Yep.
Wow.
It's pretty awesome. So, again, I'm basically back on that horse. I am trying to get back down to, I pretty much by the end of Christmas, you know, eating all the stuff and all that, I was back up to about 200 pounds, Ben. 200 pounds.
Well, that's what happens during the holidays, during the winter
now,
time.
Now, at my heaviest, I was 210, and at my lightest, I was about 160. And so I'm going back on a diet, and we're going to see. Because, as you know, I like being lighter so that I can get on different types of playground equipment without.
Right. Or to bounce around the city museum.
Exactly. I really like being able to fit through small places, and I can't do it as well now. City Museum still is awesome. It got some bad press recently.
Did it? Somebody die?
Woman, no. A woman took her children or grandchildren there, I forget which, and she was running around inside the caves, and she saw many demonic images. In the carvings and stuff like that.
You mean weren't demonic images? I just thought that was part of the milieu.
Well, it is. And that's the thing, is that what the guy who made the place said was that when he was walking through there, when he would walk through a place, if he imagined that there was going to be a monster there, they would put one there.
Ah.
Which I think is great.
So they're monsters, not demons.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, who knows, Ben? You say tomato, I say that's a demon. But I almost,
what's that demon doing in my spaghetti?
I almost hate to mention this, but I think I might have talked about it already, so I'm going to. The thing I was saying before about how I had put this on Twitter and then I took it off because I realized that, all right, the whole Pizzagate people, all that kind of stuff,
yeah,
can get spooky, right?
They get spooky?
So I'm going to tell you, yeah, I'm going to tell you something that is crazy that I read that someone who I thought of as being an okay person posted. They retweeted someone who said, if you see someone who has the hashtag no map, have I talked to you about this already?
No, that didn't sound familiar.
They said, if you see someone who tweets the hashtag no map, it means that they're a pedophile.
What?
And yeah, I don't know, but that's what they wrote.
Kind of proud to say that I don't get it.
I don't get it either, but here's the thing. You and I both know, because of the City Museum, because we've both been there, they have a thing that they write all the time, no maps. And the reason they write no maps all the time is because City Museum doesn't have any maps to find your way through.
Right.
And a lot of people go to City Museum, and then they take pictures, and they hashtag them with no maps. And I'm worried.
Oh, man.
That if these folks find the City Museum people, it's going to get stupid. And this is why later on I posted, I can't stop people from being stupid, especially when no one is doing it and I'm just afraid they're going to do it.
Right.
Right?
You can see the controversy coming.
Yes. If anything, though, making that statement on Twitter could help bring it about rather than help stop it. So I took my post down because what I did was I wrote to this person. I'm like, hey, just so that you know, you might not want to just retweet this stuff because that's a. And then there's another thing where this guy posted this thing where he was like, my partner's. Children got Kinder eggs and I replaced the toy inside with chicken hearts and we had a great conversation about veganism.
My
on
God.
It and all these people were retreating it. They're like, oh, you know, this is why I hate vegans and stuff. And I'm like, this guy,
that sounds like something that's made
vegan.
Up.
Yeah, he's not. He's a satirist. He's doing, you know, look, go to his website and look. It's all about I've got my new Antifa workout, or I've got. It's a guy. He's making fun of people. And he's in character. So sorry. Go ahead.
There's a subreddit for people like that who basically buy into. Satire, and it's called Ate the Onion.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And so these people ate the onion, even technically it wasn't the onion.
I mean, here's the thing. His politics are different than mine, but I recognize what he's doing, and and he's great. He never breaks character. He's always like, you know,
he
like,
is committed
like,
to
is...
his bit. In fact, you know what? He actually did do that just to stay committed.
They're like you're horrible, and he's like, you might think so, but they've come around to my way of thinking, and they're both vegans now, stuff like that. It's so it's got me really scared though, Ben.
Oh,
because
no.
Because what if someone is just lying. And they're not giving you these tells that let you know that they're set. What if they're just lying? How many more people will get taken by this type of thing? You
it's
know,
it's a fine line, you know, there between lying and making a joke.
Yes,
at a group's expense.
Yeah, and it's funny. You and I are very similar. Politically,
I'd say so.
And I think you can sort of see it coming. I can sort of see it coming. There is a split that seems to be happening, and it seems to be happening a lot with on the left side of things between rich people and poor people. It seems like maybe that's where the differences are, but I'm not sure if it's rich and poor necessarily, but it's the folks who are like, you know, I don't need a purity test. I just need someone who's going to win in 2020. But all the people that they're talking about, like, running aren't necessarily going to win in 2020 for you if you're doing what I think you're doing. You know, all this kind of stuff. I don't want to get too crazy about it, but I'm just going to basically say this. It seems to me, and I could be totally wrong, but, you know, I called the Barack Obama thing. I sort of called the Donald Trump thing. Here's the basic thing. I feel like what the Democratic Party, the main national headquarter people are banking on is that the Republicans are going to be in the middle of a scandal during 2020.
It's gearing up to be that way.
If the Democratic Party is centrist enough, they're going to steal a whole bunch of voters from the Republican Party and get in
so
that way.
Since you can divine the president, as you keep saying, then who's going to be the presidential candidate for the Democrats in 2020, Paul Goody?
I believe it's going to be probably Joe Biden.
You heard it
maybe
here first,
John Kerry,
folks.
Or maybe Kamala Harris. But here's the thing, and I want to say this for that is only if it's who they want to get in there. The main group. I think it's possible that we might see some dark horse candidates who get through.
I saw.
I believe that what's happening right now is they're trying to pick a fight between I don't even know how to pronounce his name, Beto. Beto supporters and Bernie Sanders supporters.
Yeah.
They're trying to make them fight each other.
Yeah, the Beto versus Bernie thing is lighting up.
It feels to me like it's a fight like people would make in grade school where they say, oh, do you know what this guy said about your mom? And then they go to the other guy and you say, you see what this guy said about your mom? Because they're sort of the same pool. They're not exactly, though. They're Beto is more central, right? But he's still not establishment.
Not yet, but
who knows? I mean, that could be...
He got mad buzz, so his star rose really quickly.
Right, which...
We'll see how long that lasts.
Which is why, like I said, it might be why they're trying to get him taken down. Or, you know, maybe if he survives it, maybe he's the guy. What I can say is this. You know what? I'll be totally honest. Things are so messed up right now, I don't see a future right now. I don't know who it's going to be.
The crystal ball is cloudy.
Yeah. And the reason is because stuff is so crazy right now. I mean, there's a lot of chaos swirling around. Like I said, I feel like they're going to try to run, you know, either rich white man, you know, to kind of like that's sort of the comfort food candidate.
Right.
For the American
like
people.
Rich
that's,
white men
that's
have
what
been winning for 240 years, so
they might try, like I said, Kamala Harris, maybe. But I, you know, that's the reason I'm saying that is because they, I mean, she was a prosecutor. She was sort of law and order type person. So she still might be able to bring people, you know, from the right over.
I think, you know, yeah, we're talking about, like, the differences between individual candidates. But the sense I get now is that anybody would be happy, or everybody would be happy with anybody else.
Well,
I mean, you even have lefts who are like, remember when we thought Mitt Romney was the worst thing that could happen to this country? Yeah. Now he's looking kind of good, isn't he?
Well, that's the one thing is it's a double-edged sword, right? You could, you know, with that freedom, right, you could run, you know, a really left candidate or push it further left.
I think
if you wanted to.
The whole reason the Republicans nominated Trump is to make a Mitt Romney candidacy more legitimate.
that's not a.
So they're gonna run. They're gonna run him in 2020.
Oh man! If they do that, and I'm serious about this, that could be a situation where you have again him on one side, and then you know, like I said, can you imagine Kerry versus Romney? Did that ever happen?
Oh,
I don't think it did.
But no, you know, Romney was that kind Romney of like, ran against Obama in 2012.
Biden versus Romney again, same sort of thing.
Crazy Uncle Joe, President Crazy Uncle Joe.
Yeah, but the main thing is that I've seen two different things. One was Hillary Clinton in an interview, and the other one was Joe Biden in a news story, where both of those two folks who are, you know, I would say pretty visible in the Democratic Party. Hillary Clinton said, if you're not going to vote for Democrats, then go somewhere else. And she was using Kamala Harris as an example at that point.
Okay.
And then Joe Biden said that he didn't want to hear millennials whining anymore.
That's a good way to get a vote.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying, is that in those two situations, it's like they don't care or don't feel like they need that demographic, and the only way that that would work is if they think they're going to get votes from the Republicans,
right?
In my opinion.
Yeah. I got an email from the Bernie Sanders campaign, because from the Bernie Sanders Foundation.
Yes.
You know, because I gave money to his campaign, and the subject of the email is if I run. And you know, we talked about this. I was a Bernie supporter. You know, I think he would have been a fine president, but I immediately cringed. I'm like, I don't want to go through that again.
Right, and that's one of the things that's a little bit disconcerting, I guess, is that here's the thing. But this is the thing I've said, and honestly, if the Democrats really wanted to win, and they wanted to win in a certain way, the people that like Bernie Sanders don't like Bernie Sanders. And what I mean by that is he's not the most inspiring, charismatic guy. What they like are the policies that he represents.
Right.
And all they would need to do is run a candidate that has some charisma, who runs on those policies.
Hey, I got just a guy. Says, he's called Beto O'Rourke from Texas.
Oh, but that's the thing, is that he would have to.
It's very charismatic.
The difficult part is that he would have to agree to some of the things that he hasn't been agreeing to. Like, he hasn't, you know, the whole Medicare for All platform and the, hey, let's give people free schooling. He's backed away from that kind of stuff when people have brought it up.
Compromise that's inherent in a campaign.
Right. That isn't to say that he wouldn't back those things. You know, if somebody asked him, hey, we think that you could win if you did that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
So maybe, and again, that might be one of the reasons. Like I said, I feel like Bernie and him are like two guys fighting in a parking lot that everybody's waiting to see how that goes, you know. And I feel like, I could be totally wrong, but a more establishment candidate is waiting for them to tire each other out so that then they can come in and,
right,
you know. But I mean, I will rightfully say, I mean, not rightfully, I will say that honestly, you know, I have seen people, you know, go after him for that sort of thing. But this is what I find odd. The people who have gone after him, right? It's not Bernie Sanders who's done it. It's a person. And then they say that Sanders told them to do that, which is weird.
Yeah, we went through 2 years of all that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. So it'll be interesting to see. That's why I think it would be good for him not to go, because then that area of attack is gone.
Yeah. But, you know, that being said, I would, if he ran and he got the nomination, I would happily vote for him.
Well, I think that's the thing, is that a lot of people would.
I don't think you're going to get
there,
any.
There are some people. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't think you're going to get any Hillary supporters who are not going to vote for Bernie Sanders in 2020.
Really?
I don't think you're going to. Well, I don't think you're going to get enough that moves the needle, you know? Yeah, you'll have holdouts.
I don't know. There are some people that I know that really don't like him.
Yeah, but what, I mean, they know what the alternative is.
Yeah, it's a sunk cost fallacy kind of thing. You know what I mean? The whole concept of, and this is something I talked about earlier, but the whole idea that there were a whole bunch of people who didn't vote for her is wrong. People in certain areas didn't, but she won the popular vote. You know, people showed up, people did stuff. The concept that the American people didn't listen to her. Oh, this is when more Russian stuff came out, and they were like, she tried to warn us. I think I've talked about this before.
Yeah, we
she tried to warn us, they said, but she did. And it wasn't that people didn't listen. People called this stuff out. We were talking about Russia on a daily basis. But we have short memories. And we forget how much it was in the news. And we forget that she won the popular vote and all that kind of stuff. And it becomes this narrative that she was abandoned by everyone.
I don't think
which wasn't true.
I don't know. I don't think people are forgetting that she won the popular vote. Well, we're reminded of that constantly. And
well, yeah, but it's it's one of those weird paradoxical things where she won the popular vote and yet she wasn't supported by anyone.
I don't feel that
it's weird.
You know, the American, like, she lost because of the American people. Obviously, she didn't, you know, since she won the popular vote. But it's not the people that turned their back on her. It's the system that turned its back on, you know, that does not favor Democratic candidates currently.
Well, and Jennifer brought up a good point. Jennifer is my wife. Jennifer Fact Checker brought up a good point that the idea that a candidate loses the presidency but wins a popular vote is not normally supposed to happen, and it's happened several times in our lifetime.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be a very rare occurrence, but it happens more often than it maybe should.
And I currently don't see anything happening to fix that broken system before, you know, the next cycle of elections.
But if you're listening to this and you're gritting your teeth and you're like, oh, Paul and Ben, you're going to ruin politics. I have a system that I work on. I think Ben works on the very similar system. And that's that every election that comes up, Ben and I look at who's running and how we feel about them and how we also feel about their chances of winning. And we normally do not throw our votes away, and we don't refuse to vote, and we don't protest vote. We vote whoever is closest to our way of thinking, who also has a chance of winning, I would say. Is that pretty much right?
Yeah.
Ben?
Closest to our way of thinking, closest to the way we think everything should be handled.
So, for instance, if somebody loses the primary and then there's a presidential election after that, a general election, we don't vote for someone who lost in the primary. We vote for whichever candidate made it to the end.
Yeah.
And Ben and I call each other as we place our votes, and we stamp it at the same time or hit the same key. And then afterwards, in our separate cities, we go and get some ice cream because we did a good American
and
job.
We talk about our experience voting and opine about the future.
Yeah, on our phones, very loudly. We're both on speaker.
Right. In the middle of the ice cream shop.
Exactly, yep. It's true. It's exactly how it happens. And then we go and we fall asleep in the same bed that is 3,000 miles long, or however. How far is it from here to Seattle?
I don't know. It's probably, let's see, from there to there, I would say about 2,000 miles.
Okay. Well, pretty close.
Maybe a little less.
But yeah, so a chunk of politics still there in the middle, but
yeah.
I think we're doing better.
Good luck finding your way out of that one.
Yeah. There's a bunch of hope I have for 2019. You know, will be getting into campaign season, kind of. So it's not going to be great, but I really do hope that my friends can kind of keep it together and stay friends with each other.
Yeah, that's a beautiful hope, isn't it? Campaigns are normally, what are they, like a year and a half long? So we should know who the contenders are, like, you know, in the spring, summertime, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Of course. And then also there's always the crazy things that haven't happened yet but could, like a war or hostage situation or, you know, all that sort of stuff.
I mean, I would say, like, you know, a bombshell news story, but we learned that that doesn't really affect anything.
Yeah, which is weird, right?
Unless it's against the Democratic candidate.
You know, that was an interesting thing, too. The, if a Democratic candidate yells something in a funny voice, that'll ruin it. That's no good anymore.
I did my best Howard Dean impression right there.
Yeah. Oh, I might as well, Ben, throw in one last conspiracy thing.
Yeah.
And then...
Oh, I got something to say about conspiracies, too, so go ahead.
So, okay. Here's the crazy conspiracy idea. The FBI... learns about this is a 2016 election. FBI learns about a credible threat to the national security. If Donald Trump loses, people will spring into action and set off bombs all across the United States.
Right.
And therefore, FBI agent James Comey, takes it upon himself to leak information that ruins Hillary Clinton's chances, so that Donald Trump wins and therefore puts himself into a position where they can get him.
Get him.
Right? That's the only how, because people like James Comey, but they forget somehow sometimes.
They forget that he's probably the reason why Clinton lost the election.
And so I was like, okay. I'm going to put on my little conspiracy guy hat. How is he still a good guy after doing that? And there you go. He saved America from a domestic terrorist threat, and also then primed the current president for, you know, tipping his hand a little bit too much and then being revealed as a bad guy. And therefore, he's good. So that's that idea. Okay.
Oh,
you were saying.
Oh, well, I don't know if you heard, but we had and probably might still be having a 911 outage here in Seattle.
Oh.
And it might even be affecting the whole state, but I think it's just in Seattle.
Wow.
And
okay.
So it's 911 has been down. And I've heard not one, okay, two different conspiracy theories that this is like a quote dry run, end quote.
Ooh.
That this is this was a planned thing, and tests are being made for whatever.
Like, okay, so can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Whom are you hearing this from? Credible sources?
Let me just say that one conspiracy theory was from somebody, and these are Facebook friends, so these are people that I do know in real life.
Okay.
One person who's not prone to conspiracy theories.
Uh-huh.
And one person who is.
Okay. Do I know either of these people?
You know one for sure. I don't know how if you know the other one.
Okay, which one of them do I know?
Oh,
the
Jesus.
One who is
what
prone?
What is this, 20 questions on who my friends are?
Yeah, exactly. Is it the person who is prone? I'm trying to determine who they are without saying them. Is it the person who is prone or the person who is not prone?
The person who is not prone.
Okay, and it's a male because I said he and you didn't correct me. All right. Let's
you
see.
Said who? I didn't hear. Might have been
okay,
yelling.
Okay. Anyway, no. Doesn't matter. But,
anyway,
so that is
a 911 outage because of a CenturyLink something or other.
Ooh.
Right.
Now, boy.
But I was thinking about this. I'm like, so there's a 911 outage. What's the what's the conspiracy here? What would that? How would that play into some nefarious plot by their government later on down the road?
Okay, I've got it. So there's a 911 outage, right? Which means because there's a 911 outage, police response times are lower, right? And so petty crime could go up. And therefore, in order to maintain order, until 911 is back up, police curfews and martial law.
The one thing that I was thinking of that would be a reason for like a conspiracy theory around a 911 outage is that 911 services are going to be switched. And so instead of when you call 911, you get a dispatcher who can dispatch police, fire, whatever. You get a 911 operator who is part of a private firm that determines whether or not you get emergency services that are also privately owned.
Ben, that is a very good... okay, all right, let me ask you a question.
So they have all your information when you call. So they're like, oh, I see how you voted last time. You did all this.
Are you a member of our Citizens Plus program?
Exactly.
Oh, I like it. I don't like it, but I like it. That's a nice one.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of I like it, I don't like it, it's a nice one. Hey, Betty!
I like that segue. That's fun.
Yeah. I am master of the segue, Ben.
Hi.
Hey, Betty. So, I need to know from you.
What?
I believe when I said that we had to talk to you about how we didn't know about the fake penises.
You didn't at all.
No, afterwards. We didn't
you
say...
You didn't talk to me about that at all.
Did Jennifer? Maybe she's saying you
wait,
didn't.
Wait, maybe it was Mom then? Did anybody talk to you
no.
about it? No one has talked to you about it?
Well, I mean, except for a sarcastic comment that was like, yeah, she wasn't ready for that part. But
oh, we just talked that. About you, but not actually to you.
I mean, well, that's the only thing that I heard, but other than that, you didn't talk to me heartfelt about, you know, how, you know, we didn't know that was going to happen.
Well, Betty, we didn't know that that was going to happen. We had no idea.
Well, I don't care.
Okay, so you're not traumatized?
Did it?
No.
Okay.
Doesn't sound like it really affected her at all.
Oh no, Betty has thrown a plush seal man from the comic book Saga at me. And his name is what again?
Goose.
I don't know how it's pronounced.
I haven't read Saga, but I hear it's one of the best titles out there right now.
Oh, it is great, Ben.
Yeah.
I have read most of it and I love it. So Betty, how did you like Book of Mormon?
I loved it. It was so funny and so cute and so very, very gay.
Yeah.
so full of penises.
Betty is a big fan of gay content in media.
Yeah, because gay people are awesome.
That is correct, Betty. So, yeah. Some
solid parenting right there.
Hey, well, you know, I take credit for everything good that ever happens.
As well you
no,
should,
you
sir.
Don't.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not the one who created chocolate.
That she's right. I haven't created chocolate. But I have made chocolate before from a kit. Do you remember that? You and I made chocolate out of a
yeah,
chocolate
but
kit.
I didn't really like it.
Oh. I liked it. Oh, it was dark chocolate. That's why.
I don't like dark chocolate.
Yes.
Not sweet enough.
How about you, Ben? What percentage of cacao do you like?
You know, I gotta tell you that I'm more of a fan of the milk chocolate, but dark chocolate is apparently better for you. So it's the brown rice of chocolates. I'm trying to eat more of it.
So Ben prefers milk chocolate, but he's heard that dark chocolate's supposed to be better for you. It's the brown rice of chocolate, so he's trying to eat more of it. And Ben, do you remember when we went to see Paul F. Tompkins?
I do.
We had the dark chocolate.
I don't remember that part.
Malka actually brought the dark chocolate.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There was, yeah.
And then we saw him. He was there. Amongst us, as a real person.
We sat in the front row, and he loomed large on the stage right in front of us.
I like him still.
I wish
that guy.
I wish I could have talked to the actors who played in the Book of Mormon and tell them how good of a job they did.
Yeah, well, someday, maybe Betty. You will get to a chance to see a play and talk to the actors afterwards.
Sometimes you'll go to a play and the actors will line up by the door as you leave and you'll actually be like, oh no, I have to say hello.
Sometimes the actors will, as Ben said, will line up as you leave and then you'll have to talk to them. And sometimes they'll be friends of yours and they'll say, and you'll have to go, that was, hey.
They'll be like, hey what did you think of the show? And you say, hey, you did a great job.
You were great.
that
those
was
costumes.
An experience. I really liked the sound design.
Yeah. And by the way, if I've ever said any of those things to you, dear listener, I was 100% honest. I love that sound design. Okay. So, Betty, it looks like it's about time for us to hit the road. Anything you want to say?
No.
And she's gone.
She doesn't want to. She doesn't want to do the New Year's Eve countdown with us?
Oh, Betty, do you want to do the New Year's Eve countdown with us? Okay, Ben. All right. So now, dear listener, if you have timed this correctly, we are going to be counting down at the end of the hour, which is going to happen very soon. Starting, Ben, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Keep it wrong.
Keep it wrong. Oh, dang it. Also, I might have been off in my counting.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, we were wrong, but, you know, we've talked about the delay in the phones before.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, keep it wrong for the new year, everybody.
All right. Have a safe and happy 2019.
Exactly. Oh, boy. Am I still Yeah, and I'm still recording. Yeah. Yay. Oh,
thank God. All right. All right. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, cool, Ben. Yeah. I'll talk to you later.
Take care.
Keep it wrong.
Yep. Bye.
All right, bye. Okay, turning this off.